In the studio, we've got Javier Mead or Javier Miade. We're talking about this off the air. What is the correct pronunciation? And there doesn't seem to be one.
Well, the name originally comes as an Irish name, so I think Mead might be the best way to pronounce it. But in Mexico, because it's spelled Meade, if you read it in Spanish, that's the way some people call me. And I don't mind either way.
You know? Either way. Yeah. Now, we're here to talk about your art, but first let's talk about your football. You're a member of the Raglan Roosters, and the Raglan Roosters look good. It's been a funny season. Look like you guys should win Division 1 of the Waikato Sunday League. Is that the expectation?
Well, I think we already done it because there's no more games.
Isn't there one more game?
Well,
there's one scheduled.
Well, it might be. If it's in Hamilton, it might happen. If it's here, I probably don't, because the teams who are supposed to come here are not coming, you know?
There we go. Versus Not Wade & Co. Gekatia Park, 1 o'clock.
So that will be a game for sure. Yeah, so that's next Sunday, yeah?
And I worked out, if you lose by 3-0, you still win the competition. If you lose by 4-0, you don't win. But you should beat those guys.
I got the feeling that we're going to win that one, you know?
Yeah. But I heard somewhere, might have been you, told me that the teams that are refusing to come out at the moment, they're actually starting to find them.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening with the Sunday League, but the teams are not happy to come to Raglan, you know, which is kind of crazy. You know, they don't seem to have enough players to make the trip, you know.
It's been a funny year, so I guess we'll put it down to that, and hopefully next year is better.
I guess in a way we can't join the Saturday League, which is more serious, if you like, you know, but we can't because we haven't got dressing rooms.
I know. I looked it up. You have to have dressing rooms, properly marked out stuff. You have to have a separate shower for the referee, so he can shower in peace.
Yeah,
and you have to have lights for practice as well. So
it's been years since we've been talking to the council and trying to get some happening, especially when you see a wet Saturday with all the kids playing soccer and the parents getting wet and umbrellas and getting cold. You know, if we had some shelter in there, it would be a lot better. You know, but doesn't seem to be a council priority.
Might be. I'll tell it afterwards.
Okay.
So Javier is talking tonight at the Old School Art Centre for an artist talk. And the time, let me get the time, 6:30. And you're architect and artist and photographer and whatever you want to turn your hands to, poster designer. What's the big idea for the talk? What are you talking about?
Well, actually, I was invited to talk by Amanda Watson, she was the first one who did the art talk.
Last month.
And so it's an artist talk. So it's been interesting for me to look at, okay, what am I going to talk about, you know?
Were you allowed to talk whatever you wanted?
Yeah. Mainly, I don't know, like, I think each one of the artists who are going to give a talk are going to have a different approach to it, you know?
Yeah.
It's no set way in which we're going to do it. But what I did is look a little bit of what I have done in the past, you know? So it's been kind of interesting for myself to find out what are the lines that I've been following and what have I done since, I think the first thing that exhibit was music. Well, a musician supposed to come was what we used to call in those days a happening, you know?
Yeah.
It was a happening, you know? And the musician supposed to come and I was going to paint on the spot, you know? Mm. Which the musician didn't turn up. Oh. So I have I had a kind of like an equivalent of a ghetto blaster, you know, and put some free jazz. Could have been Ornette Coleman or John Coltrane or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
And I painted to that, you know, and that's what I exhibited. That was my first show, you know.
Yeah. And that was like the most recent thing I talked about with you was the same thing you did with Freddie Limbert here. He was on the drums and you were painting.
It's been something that I've been doing for many years, you know, well, for a long time, and that is painting with live music, you know, so it's kind of like a visual and music conversation, you know.
Do you have to, like, get yourself into the right headspace before you do that? Can't be stressed out about things, or does the music is the music the thing that does that for you?
I think you, well, yeah, you need to be kind of ready for it, you know. It just, you can't just go yes from one day to the other, you know. It's kind of, it's a bit of preparation and having the place ready, the paint, the papers, etc., you know. It's kind of like a meditation to actually to start there, you know. One of my favorite painters, you know, one Antoni Tàpies from Barcelona, he used to do those kind of what we call action painting. And he used to, in a book that I read of his, you know, he used to walk around the paint, the area that he was, or the canvas that he was going to paint. And sometimes he walked around it for a couple of hours and nothing happened, you know. And sometimes in a couple of minutes he was ready and boom, put that big brush stroke, and that was it, you know.
Were there people watching, waiting? Or?
No.
Because that's not very entertaining.
No, it wasn't a show as such. It just was the way to get ready when to actually do it, you know. So, yeah, you need to have some kind of a special timing and be ready for that. You know?
Are you bringing images?
Yeah, very. A lot, actually.
Well,
I'm a visual guy, you know. So yeah, probably yeah. I would be bombarding people with, I think I got about 60 or so images to show, you know.
Okay, and slide form, digital form, what are we doing? Oh, you must, because you have old slides.
Yeah, well, actually, that one of my jobs, I think, and I'm going to talk about too, is being lately scanning a lot of the old negatives, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show a couple of really old, 40-year-old photos of the old school. Before it was actually, redone and
I've seen one. There's one photo of when it was like the county depot,
yeah,
and it was a dilapidated building, and the front area was just used for dumping trucks and piles of metal and things like that.
Yeah, I have photos from that, and then when we created the Raglan Arts Council, one of our jobs was to fight to have that building, you know.
Yeah, because the council was going to knock it over, were they?
He was going to knock it over, you know. Yeah. And it was a good old Ivan Rica who come and help us and say, how come my school? No way, you know. So
once you've got Ivan Rica on your side, you're unbeatable.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. So she was the final call to save the building and to be what it is now.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful old building, you know.
Yeah. And it's they've continued to do all the last things they need to do to, like, keep it all maintained.
Yep.
Sorry, I've been looking at my phone. I'm trying to organize the next interview at the same time as doing this one. So, Javier, architecture, I want to ask you, were you a modernist in your young days?
I guess I was, you know. Yes. I have the fortune to have some very good teachers of architecture in Mexico, you know. Who were really well known, and they have done some really fabulous buildings in Mexico. I don't think it's a point to mention some of the names, you know, Díaz Infante, Ordorica, well, some big names in Mexico, you know. And but I didn't quite finish the studies over there because my father died, I started working, lots of things started to happen. So I end up, one of my jobs was doing architectural photography, you know.
Oh, okay.
For magazines in Mexico,
which we've seen on your, what's the page called? There it is. The reason I asked that modernist one, yeah. So by the time I went through, because I did the same thing as you,
right?
And,
yes.
And by the time I came through, many students were skeptical of modernism because Auckland University had modernist buildings and they were horrible in terms of the human experience, but the lecturers were still, there were some lecturers we worked out, we would compare our marks after writing an essay, and the people who'd written about a modernist architect, chosen a modernist architect to write about, generally got better grades than the people who hadn't for some of the lecturers.
Right,
so
right, yeah.
That was the sort of, the level of integrity that some of our lecturers had.
Right. Well, I continued the studies of architecture here in Aotearoa, and the reason was that I started to teach at, well, I have been teaching at Wintec, you know, and they have a degree. The media art degree was created, and in order to teach in a degree, they want you to have a higher academic
masters or something.
Yeah, so I was invited to do masters, you know. So and so I chose the masters in architecture at the Auckland University because of Brenda Vale, who was she's wrote the famous book of green architecture. She was from England, but it was at the Auckland University, so that's why I went there. And my my thesis on or my studies on masters was eco-design education in Aotearoa. So basically I centered on that, and then I started teaching eco-design at WinTech.
So you basically researched your own job?
Yes.
In effect, yeah.
Yeah.
And so you did that for quite a few years at WinTech in Hamilton, the eco-design course.
Yeah, I did. You know, and I'm happy to, I'm proud really to say that was the first eco-design course in the country, you know, in a tertiary education.
But that's not a, like a construction architecture. Well, they have construction classes at the
tech. Yeah, no, but it was within the media arts, but anybody could join from who was doing a degree, you know.
But you had lots of freedom because you were... There's no one there who's going to argue with what you were doing.
Actually, I did have a lot of freedom in everything I taught at WinTech. You know, no one ever told me not to do or what to do in there. And I don't really, I don't know, political things, you know, like I, yeah. And no one ever told me not to or what to teach, you know. So, well, obviously you have to follow some kind of curriculum. But in the case of eco-design, I wrote it myself and I taught it, you know. And still now, there is a tutor who is following the same kind of principles. You know?
So it was something that, could people do it, did they have to do it as part of the media arts, or could people come and do it as a single course? Or?
They could do it as a single course, you know. Yeah. They could come from anywhere.
You did know? You get people who like working architects who came in?
No.
Busy working.
Yeah, I only got...
I wouldn't know some of them.
I got some as guests, basically, but that's all, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I, actually, from here, from Draglen, Ian Mays...
Yes.
He was our guest every semester. He came and talked to our students because he had lots of knowledge in that area. You know?
Yeah, well, he had the
And your next interview with Rachel, she also come and talk to our students.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. So if you lived in Raglan, Javier might get you to come and lecture in his class.
If you're green enough.
If you're green enough. Well, it's not hard to find green people in Raglan. That's for
correct,
sure.
That's for sure, yes.
Yeah, so you got really involved in poster design as well. What is it about posters? Because we're sitting in a room full of posters, but is it this type of poster? These are kind of commercial.
Yeah, well, it's band and that posters. One of the Mudsharks is mine, you know.
Oh, you did the Mudsharks poster?
Yeah, all of the Mudsharks.
We should get you to sign it, Javier.
And... this another one somewhere there. I did some for Mitch, and you know, yeah, I've been doing posters for a long time. You know, it's one of my pet subjects. You know, and I collect posters.
Is that another thing where there's a lot of freedom? Because you know, in the art world, things can get very stuffy. I guess people might say, and there's a lot of discussion about what the right kind of art is, and but in posters there's a freedom because it's going to go on the wall and it's going to be ripped down in a few weeks and no one's looking for art, you know, highbrow art.
Yeah, and I think one of the things I like about posters is that they're really user-friendly, you know, like people might be afraid to go to a gallery or some, you know, it feels too foreign, but a poster is very accessible, you know, anybody can connect with that, you know.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons I created these collections of the Aotearoa Liberators, for example, you know, and it's been exhibited in incredible places, you know, from streets to highbrow museums, if you
right.
like, you know. And it's got that opening, you know.
They're like around the world, not just in Aotearoa.
Yeah, around the world. They're in collections in Spain, in Scotland, in Croatia, in Cuba, in Mexico.
Yeah.
Even in it's a new museum in, well, relatively new, a couple of years old museum in New York. In New York City, which is based on only posters, you know. And it's a couple of my posters in there, you know. So it's going places. And that project, you know, those projects of the posters, you know, they seem to have their own legs, you know. They walk and somehow, like a couple of weeks ago, well, 3 weeks ago, I went to Auckland, I mean, to the Waikato University and finding the gallery at the Academy of Performing Arts, you know, find some of my posters exhibited.
You don't even know?
No, I didn't know.
Nobody told you?
I just went there to see what was on in there, and I find my own work in there.
Which I was going to say, didn't they think to talk to the artist, but then this is posters, so you just grab a poster and put it up if you want.
No, but it's part of the collection, because and they have a special show with some Maori kind of approach, you know? And I was so happy to see my work next to a Paramachit, you know. And yeah, so it was some of the posters, not all the 12 posters of the collection were there, but the ones I did about Papa Tuanuku and Rangi Nui, you know, the creation kind of myth, and another one about the Fiti, you know, in Parihaka, you know, so they were there, so which seems to fit with that particular curated show.
Yeah. Maybe I'm not surprised, because that they have legs, because posters have to engage instantly. It's not like the highbrow art, which can be very intellectual, and you kind of need to think deeply or read the explanation.
Yeah.
Poster will hit you right away, or it's failed.
Yeah, exactly. And they also have a message. You know, it's always something being said by a poster. You know,
yeah.
And some of them have their own deadline on it. You know, they're like, I'm seeing one in front, you know, that says Friday 14th. You know, so after that, it's history. You know,
yeah.
It's gone. You know,
so. I know. I don't know the years for most of these posters. They never put a year on them.
Yes, I wish they have years.
There's,
you know,
one over there, the Raglan Volunteer Rescue Services fundraiser for 2012 with the mud sharks. It's the only one that's got a year, I think, in the whole room.
Yeah, I wish we had years on them. You know.
But. Yeah, yeah. Well, we can pinpoint a decade. So are you going to show do the whole retrospective of your career, like the architectural photography, the posters, some architecture, some eco-design?
I'm not going to show any architecture, you know. I did some architecture here in Raglan, probably designed maybe, I don't know, 2 dozen houses, you know. But I'm not going to talk or show any of that, you know.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
right. Yeah, that's history, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of all history now.
Yeah.
Are you working on things? Are the things that you're always doing?
Well, at the moment I'm preparing for a show by Labor Weekend, you know, for this Raglan Arts Week, you know, weekend. And at the Wolf Gallery, I'm going to put some of my work that I'm working on recently, you know.
So what are you working on at the moment? What format even?
Well, I'm using the digital prints. Yeah. Done by B Rex, who's got a really beautiful printer, you know.
Yeah.
They're based on architecture, you know, and on the negative space, what we call the negative space. I've been photographing architecture forever, really, you know, and now I'm putting those and manipulating them in Photoshop and using a bit of calligraphy. And I have interesting new work that I'm producing that you guys are welcome to check at the Wolf Gallery. You know?
Okay. Well, folks, we've been talking to Javier Mead or Miade, depending on whether you want to go with the Irish or the... Actually, I don't think that is the... That might not be the Irish pronunciation either, or the Mexican. You're on tonight at the Old School Arts Centre at 6:30. That's what I remember here.
And it's free and everyone is more than welcome.
And there is a licensed cafe and bar open from 6:15. All right. And yeah. Are you on the air on Sunday night this weekend?
Yes,
this is you
up? It's my turn this Sunday, so I will be doing a musical journey. I haven't worked out what I'm going to play yet.
You're planning this. Well, no, you've got the art tonight, so I guess that's been your focus.
Yeah.
Okay, Javier, thank you for coming. I could talk to you for much longer, but we have a busy morning this morning, as it has been lately, so thank you for coming in.
Always a pleasure, and... thank you, Fine Garoa.
And good luck with the football on Sunday.
Gracias.